This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 88. And my name is Peter Higgins, and you can find me at Conquest3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my colleague and co-host, Wheelie Dealer. And you can find him at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. The date is the 16th of the 11th month, November 2022. And we're a bit late. It's 1800 hours and 41 minutes. So 22:07 in the UK, or 19 minutes to seven, if you want to be pedantic. Pete, how are you doing, fella?
Yeah, well, you know, like I was saying to you before, same old story. Quite a lot of pain today, and it's been a bit frustrating. But hey, it's an ongoing issue that's very, very annoying.
I know. And I think we've had our discussion off air, and I've seen some of your tweets about, you know, what's been going on regarding a certain body of professionals not essentially doing their job at the moment with regards to yourself. Or for the moment, I'm saying, crack, it's been going on for nearly 2 years. We've been talking about this now.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
If we put NHS in a search engine for the podcast, I'm sure we mentioned it quite a lot of times for the good of, you know, during what they were doing in lockdown as well. We spoke very highly of them, but for the bad, in the sense of not getting you sorted out for such a long time, you know, so you can get back to some levels of normality.
Yeah, it is frustrating, but you know, it is what it is. Anyway, so mate, what do you reckon these markets then?
The markets, mate, volatile, unpredictable, throwing some people left, right, and centre. You know, any stock at all that comes out with an inkling of what smells like, might not even be a profit warning. If it smells like a profit warning, is going to get spanked. 5%, 15%, 25% going to get hurt. You know, and we had our good friend on here last week, sorry, the last podcast, talking about Tremor. And I was waiting for the trading update, and the trading update came out and the market didn't like it.
Hated it.
At one stage, it was down 30%. Not sure how far it's going to recover or how long it's going to take to recover. But just one part of the news that they gave, the market didn't like it. So it remains on my watch list. My condolences to James and everybody else that holds a stock or were buying it up to the date of the trading update. But it's going to take a little while to recover now. So as you said previously, about other stocks, it's going to be in rehab for a little while, I think. Yeah. And when it sorts itself out, I'm sure the buyers will return. But I want to go on to the markets after this, Pete, and just, yeah, I wanted to share. We had some fantastic people. And this is the beauty about what we do on the podcast, is that we've got some genuine, authentic people that love the podcast, that love James being on the show, and they just gave us some absolutely phenomenal feedback. So I wanted to start with that and then go on to the markets, if I may.
Oh yeah.
So the first shout out I'm going to give to @goodtobeheard, and he tweeted out, thank you @Conquest3, @Wheelie Dealer, and @1James1, a super podcast. Special thanks to 1James1 for kindly sharing his experiences and methodology. Hearing fellow FinTwit investors talking so eloquently about investing really is beneficial and value adding. Thank you. Then we had one from the Reluctant Investor, and that's @TheReluctantIn2. And he wrote, I already follow James @1James1 for his measured analysis and commentary. And it's nice to see that in real life is pretty much what Twitter says on the tin. Thanks for another enlightening pod with another insightful guest. Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you for that, mate. And then we had Battlebus @Battlebus141, who's not on Twitter that much anymore for a variety of reasons. And he tweeted, Great episode. I especially enjoyed listening to One James One. Worth a follow if you don't already. So brilliant. Thank you for that, BB. Our good friend, Diana E. Patterson, wrote, Diana, yeah. I'm halfway through this Twin Peaks podcast and thoroughly enjoying it. At James One N1 is one of my favorite investors on Twitter. So I'm grateful to learn about his techniques and strategy. Thank you, James and Twin Peaks, as always, for sharing your experience and for the laughs. She always says she gets lots of laughs from our program. I'm thinking, we're quite serious, aren't we, Pete, about what we're doing on here?
Totally, mate. Totally serious. Never a titter will come from our lips. Yes.
Okay. And one final one here amongst all the others that we received was from at Brilliant Leader. And he wrote, this was a great listen, James, and an excellent discussion around getting rich slowly. Well done to all three of you. So everyone that's given us feedback, everyone's retweeted, everyone that's said anything, thank you ever so much for showing James the love and the podcast the love. We really appreciate the generosity that you've shared. And I know James has received lots of new followers as well from the podcast. So that's really, really good. He's very, very much worth a follow regarding all of his insights. So that's where we are, Pete, with that. The feedback was brilliant. The numbers regarding that particular show were exceptional. We've had lots of new listeners listening via the YouTube channel. So thank you all for subscribing to that channel. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, please do so. Even if your main site that you use is Spotify or Apple or elsewhere, please go and subscribe on YouTube. That'll really help us just push the podcast out globally. Markets, Pete, where do you want me to start? Volatile?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a funny old period, isn't it? Because we've had quite a bounce. I mean, looking at my own portfolio, I've had three up weeks and I've recovered a lot of the damage that, you know, was inflicted at the start of October, I guess, end of September, around the trust budget and stuff. So it's been a really nice bounce. I mean, how much legs that has got is hard to tell. I think in the next few weeks, the rest of this week and next week, we've got Thanksgiving and we've got Black Friday, which at the end of next week, that's in America, obviously. Then tomorrow we've got James Hunt, who racing driver, what? No, Jeremy Hunt, yeah. I could have called him something else, but let's just stick to Jeremy Hunt.
Don't.
It's probably best. So we got Jeremy Hunt's budget tomorrow, so that could throw some curveballs. I mean, I think, you know, it looks like going to be more windfall tax. It looks like banker's bonus cap is going to be removed. I think a lot of it has been trailed. It's basically going to be a very, very fiscally tight budget with reined in spending on the government side and with higher taxes. So, you know, it's all going to crush down on the economy and hopefully crush down on inflation, although I've got my doubts as to how much tightening monetary policy and tightening fiscal policy can really help on inflation when it's really driven by food. Well, we were talking off air. I mean, we had the inflation figures today. So as Pete said at the start, it's Wednesday, the 16th of November today. We had the inflation figures. They were a bit higher than expected, which is, you know, not what we want. But the worst thing was that the headline inflation rate was something like 11% or whatever it was, a little bit more than 11%. But the food component was something like 16%. And I was just saying to you, this afternoon I popped into Tesco's in Slough, and it is shocking how the prices go up. You just think, it's like up until this year, really, and perhaps a year before, I guess most of us didn't take a lot of notice of the prices. I mean, I used to shop in Sainsbury's, Tesco's, Asda, wherever I fancied. And yet this year, I never go to Sainsbury's. It's too damn expensive. There's no way I'm going to pay their prices. And even Tesco seems expensive now compared to my beloved Aldi down the road, which I just love that shop because it's just, I mean, basically they give you the food. It's a very small shop, so there's no choice. And I love the fact there's no choice, because you can just go in, get what you want and get out, instead of going in there scratching red for an hour, looking at all the margarines, figuring which one we're going to buy. There's only one, so you buy that one.
Brilliant, brilliant. No, Pete, I think the thing that concerns me, and I've been speaking to quite a few people, Pete, to just watch the portfolio, be mindful of the portfolio and prepare the portfolio for Thursday, right? So you've got Jeremy Hunt coming out with his autumn statement, right? Him and Rishi are going to say this is what they're going to do. I've written a little bit of notes on that just so people can prepare themselves for it. And when they're listening to this on Friday, we'll see what happens regarding. We're recording this on Wednesday. He's doing his fiscal statement, autumn statement on Thursday. You're going to be hearing this for the first time probably late Thursday night / Friday morning. So bear with us on this, right? So tax rises for all is what they're basically saying, as he plots a path to stability, right? Given what we're saying about inflation. Stealth taxes increases through a freeze in thresholds and an extension to energy windfall tax, and cuts to public and capital spending are likely targets for the Chancellor tomorrow, yeah? So we're looking at all these stealth taxes because there's an estimated 60 billion fiscal black hole is what you touched on. That's the figure, 60 million. And on the income side of it, income tax, an increase looks unlikely, but the stealthy chancellor may freeze the levels at which people pay tax and national insurance in a move that could bring in 30 billion a year by 2026. So he's looking long term to just keep drawing money in out of our pockets and the people that are working, its pockets.
And
the Center of Economics and Business Research think tank said the move could mean 3 million workers paying more income tax. Is that going to mean 3 million less voters for the Tory party come the general elections?
They haven't got any now anyway.
Going to be very interesting. So high earners, you know, are going to be hit by a reduction at the level at which they can, the top rate kicks in into 125 from 150K, whilst inheritance tax thresholds could be frozen beyond the existing 2025 to 26 year. So it's quite a few bits and pieces, but essentially the wealthier savers, the wealthier workers are going to see a hit, mate, you know. And there's also talk about may face an extension on lifetime allowance and pension triple lock and heavy, heavy stuff, guys, ladies and gents. So prepare, you know, if he comes out and says they're going to get rid of HS2, then it might save us a couple of billion. Who knows?
What you've talked about there with freezing the threshold is what they call fiscal drag. So basically more and more people get dragged into it as their salaries go up, you know, with pay rises and whatever. So, I mean, it's not a great time. You know, there's no doubt about it.
But the bizarre thing is they've been trailing this, and I don't want to say leaking. It's been in the news for 2 weeks now. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
So all the bad news is out there. So it's a case of, all the potential bad news is out there.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow we get it. And it's a case of people are going to go, the market's going to go, the analysts are going to go, the economists are going to go, well, that's actually not as bad as we were told, maybe. So the markets might be all right. And bizarrely,
well, who knows?
Monday, the FTSE touched a high of 7,413, Pete.
Yeah, just over 7,400, yeah.
Okay, so we're at 7,400. I'm like, it's only 11th of October. We're at 6,800. We've done 600 points plus, and it's all been bad news. All bad news, bad news, bad news. And today we've closed at, FTSE closed down 18 points at 7,351. And its intraday high was 7,394. The engine of the FTSE All Share is the FTSE 250. That was at 19,112. That was down quite significantly. There's a few stocks got hit in the FTSE 250. That was down 1.77% today. FTSE All Share was down 0.5% at 4,035. AIM has been doing all right of late, the last 2 weeks, so it's been climbing. And the FTSE AIM All Share was down 1% at 839. I think when we last spoke, it was at 812 or 18 or something like that. So yeah. That's been bubbling up as well because a few of their stocks has been on the move. So, yeah, interesting times, Pete.
Today, I'm
hoping the market can deal with tomorrow's news and not just give up. Otherwise, yeah. Could see 7,200 in a heartbeat, you know.
Today struck me as very much back to the mold we've had pretty much all of 2022, where people are going to the defensive bigger names. They're going to the energy side of things, the commodity side of things, basically yeah. The big companies, the dollar earners, all that kind of stuff. It was those stocks that were holding up well, which is why the FTSE 100 held up. And obviously, because mm-hmm. of the FTSE 100 skew with your big stocks, or your AstraZeneca, your Glaxo, your Shell, all those big stocks basically holding up reasonably well. And it went to the usual pattern of all the higher risk stuff, the FTSE 250, the small cap, the AIM, all dropping today. And that is so clear across my portfolio. But, you know, I think it's a really interesting situation because I mentioned on the last podcast that I wondered if a lot of the bad news was getting priced in. And I think we're still getting individual stock surprises like with Tremor, where they're still dropping 30%. But I think to a large extent, a lot of the news is in. And it's really interesting because you look at like the DAX, the German DAX has had a heck of a rally, you know, and it's looking toppy in the short term. And I've been saying on Twitter, because I tend to look at the charts sort of around 10 o'clock every night and put out my thoughts on Twitter. And the DAX was looking very overextended and it needs to consolidate, which means some sideways movement or a bit of a pull back and a wiggle around to get the heat out. But I think one of the most interesting ones is the NASDAQ. I think it's that something has changed in the NASDAQ. And what I mean by that, if you look over, say, a year or whatever, about a year, there's still a major downtrend channel. We're still in that channel. But the interesting thing is it's done like a W pattern, which could be a double bottom. And it's actually broken out of the top of the W, which is quite a positive thing. And even looking at the price action today, it's off. It's off about 1%, I think, when I looked at it a few minutes ago. But it's not having like, you know, it's not a 3% drop. You know what I mean? And I think after the rally, you've got to give a bit back. And I'm a big fan of the seasonal investing concept. And what you tend to find is that November is usually a pretty reasonable month, but it often goes a bit soggy towards the end. And early December can be a bit soggy. But December is historically the best month of the year. So it would actually fit pretty well to have had our rally that we've had for the last 3 weeks or so, to go into a bit of a slowdown now because we've got Thanksgiving and whatever, to have a bit of a consolidation period, just drop back a bit. That will set things up nicely to get into a decent rally in December. Well, I say rally. I don't think it's going to be an amazing rally, but I think the markets will be better in the last 2-3 weeks of December, which is the normal pattern it always follows. And then you have a week early January. And provided, I mean, last night, I mean, like we say, we're recording this on the Wednesday. Last night, we had the horrific spectre of two people getting killed in Poland. Because whether it's a Ukrainian missile trying to knock down a Russian missile or whether it's a Russian missile, there's a big argument, a big debate about that. But the fact is, people in Poland got killed as a result of Putin's war. And you know, it's these kind of shock events that could upset the apple carts and cause big problems.
I agree with you. I think there's plenty more shocks to come, unfortunately. We've got 6 weeks-ish before the year is out, you know, and we're into 2023, which is what everyone's already earmarked as going to be, a horrible year. So we'll have to
look that way, doesn't it?
Within the next 6 weeks. Mm. Going back to what you were saying, the Dow finished that earlier, sorry, was at 33.5. So 33,567 was what I wrote on my little notes here. And that's been bobbing up and down, and obviously it's quite erratic. We spoke about it when James was on the show. It's 1 month high, is at 33,750, and that was achieved on the 11th of November. And that's versus
mate, I think that's the closing high. The intraday high actually popped over 34,000, then it fell back.
Yeah, I've got it.
As the
closing high here. And the 52-week high we've got at 36,952. But as of when I looked at the markets earlier on, the Dow was down 7.5% year to date, there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
The Nasdaq that you spoke about was down 1% at 11,209. And the 1 month high that I had with the stat that I found was 11,360 or there or thereabouts, achieved on the 15th, so just a bit later of November, versus its 52-week high of 16,212. So the Nasdaq is currently down 28% year to date. So tech heavy has been absolutely spanked regarding that. But guess what? The FTSE is down a remarkable 0.45% year to date.
Wow.
Outperforming the Nasdaq, outperforming the Dow Jones. The first time we can say, hail the FTSE, hail the FTSE, finally, because we're actually holding up all right.
And if we're
actually holding up far better than all the other markets, everyone's always lauding, well, I'm just going to buy this, I'm going to buy that because it's the S&P 500 or whatever, or it's Dow Jones or it's Nasdaq or it's, you know, all the funds that everyone's been buying and lauding for the past 2 years are being outperformed by a tracker fund that's bought into the FTSE 100.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing to factor in is if you factor in dividends, the FTSE is up about 4% on the year, which, you know, is a staggering performance, to be fair.
It's not bad at all, mate. Not bad at all.
But also, you know, I was talking about the DAX. I looked at the DAX the other day, and the DAX is down about 6% year to date. And if you include dividends on that, it's probably only down about 3%. So,
Pretty good.
Mate, I was going to just mention something related to that. And it's a bit like what I was saying earlier about a lot of the bad news being priced in. If you look at the UK base rate, so that's the interest rate, right?
Mm.
At the moment, I think it's around 4%. And the predictions are from the Bank of England, now bear in mind they could be wrong, their predictions is it's going to go to 5.25% at the peak, right? So if you think about it, stocks that are paying a 6% dividend and higher, as long as they're not value traps, the ones that are going to blow up on you. So I'm thinking things like Legal & General, which is on an 8% dividend or just under that. And I'm thinking, I mean, there's loads of stocks on dividends of 6, 7, 8%. It's getting to the point. You think, right, so the base rate is going to peak at, say, 5.25%. Most cash rates, if you put money in the bank, you'd be lucky to get 3% because they just don't pass the rates on to you, yeah? So when you look that you can get a bank rate of 3% holding it as cash and you've got risk of inflation eroding the value of that cash anyway, it actually makes stocks with a yield of 6, 7, 8% that are going to give you hopefully future growth. And bear in mind, at some point, interest rates may fall back. Those stocks start to look attractive. So I think that's an interesting situation.
Definitely. It goes back to all the conversations we've had on here. And I want to talk a bit more about part two of the ISA Millionaire, how to get to a million. Discussion we had last week, which was went down really, really well, is the beauty of compounding, Pete. You can't get past it. You can't get past it. If you want to become wealthy and you want to have your financial freedom and you want to sleep at night, choosing good quality stocks from wherever they may be, you know, whether it be in the FTSE or whether it be on AIM or whether it be, you know, across in the US or whether it be in Europe, finding those and having done your research and being able to put your money away into those stocks, you know, regardless of what happens in 2023 and possibly later than that, that business is not going out of business, not going bankrupt like one of the companies we're going to mention in a minute.
Oh, God.
then you should be okay. Because the whole point of investing is to invest long term. It's not about trading. You know, absolutely. Traders this year have been spanked because of the volatility. You know, I don't see many traders talking about how well they're doing this year. You know, and
it's been a really difficult environment.
Illiquid small AIM stocks have done really, really, really badly. And I think it's that education. You know, every single day is a school day for me in investing. Every single day I'm taught a new lesson that I haven't learned before. And I'm thinking, I should know better. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this. And I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. And that's why I put the tweets out regarding stocks when I get them wrong. You know, one of the stocks I forgot to mention on here when James was on here was me selling out of Boo finally. And I took a 50% hit on that.
Absolutely.
And what immediately happened after that? It rose 50% plus after I'd sold it. You know, so, and it happens.
It's going to happen.
It's lessons. Lessons. Yeah. You've got to talk about the good, the bad, and indifferent. Because that's the only way we all learn from it. And this, the whole point is having this community where we share the good and we share the bad. We're not on Twitter relentlessly every single day and every single week talking about winning. And then when you have a bad patch, we disappear. You know, we've got to share all the good stuff, people, because it's hard out there. And investing is hard. So share the good stuff, but also share the bad. And that's how we all benefit and learn.
Oh, I mean, you are just so right with that. I mean, it's the thing that's amazed me about 2022. You know, I've lived through the dot-com bubble. Obviously a lot more things before that, but I wasn't particularly involved in the stock markets then, but I was involved in the stock market in the dot-com bubble. I was involved in the credit crunch. I've been involved in all the European bond crises, the pandemic, blah blah blah. And yet again, the market.
You're a lot older than you look, Pete. Yeah, is that what you're telling us?
Yeah. I look about 30, and I feel about 88, the same as the number on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, 50 odd years of it.
So no, but you know, it's incredible that having been through those pretty nasty experiences, the market still comes up, manages to come up with something new, and decides to have a war with a nuclear power just to really give our portfolios a damn good kicking and say to us, whenever you think you're learning something and you know what you're doing, you don't. The market is still boss, and you've got to give the market gods respect, because they're the ones in charge, not you.
Absolutely. And on that note, I'm going to talk about the cryptocurrency exchanges. I'm sure everybody's heard about now.
Yeah.
FTX, that was worth billions. And essentially, it's collapsed, you know, has more than 190 billion wiped off its value.
190 billion?
FTX collapse has more than 190 billion wiped off from the value of the overall crypto market.
Wow. Yeah?
So rival firms are trying to distance themselves from it. But because of its collapse, it's triggered 190 billion of value wiped across the market of crypto. Yeah.
Incredible.
It's a domino effect, because people are fearful. So anything connected with crypto now is going, we're all right. We're all right. But, you know, we're not like them. But no one's bothered. No one's interested. Everybody wants out now. Saying everybody, most people want out. I forget when we had Seth Levine. About a year ago, we were talking about all of this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when we talked about Dogecoin and that, you know, that little thing I sent out, that music, that little riff about Dogecoin and Dogecoin and all the rest of it. And if you think about it, Pete, I'm not saying this particular FTX or thing, there are concerns about the exchanges and wallets and so on and so forth, and security of. And this is what I'm saying about all these different things, is that you have to be very, very mindful. They've got all these celebrities that were endorsing FTX. You had, I won't say the names, former prime ministers and presidents of countries, you know, at keynote speakers for FTX. You had celebrity athletes and so on and so forth. Now they're talking about X, Y, and Z. There's going to be a lawsuit for him. There's going to be a lawsuit for her. The guy from Shark Tank, O'Leary, be a lawsuit for him, because they're endorsing it and marketing it and pumping it and all the rest of it. So someone's looking for someone to blame now.
Oh yeah,
because they've lost their savings on this exchange.
Yeah.
You know, so boy, so class action lawsuits in America are ugly, ugly situations, and they're very expensive. So, you know, it's one of them, mate. Watch out. And Bitcoin obviously is struggling with it because that's been dipping as well. Anyone involved in Bitcoin is now going, well, this is meant to be the safest vehicle for the crypto. But that's been hammered as well as a consequence of the collapse of FTX.
I mean, it's one of the things that really quite surprises me about it is that there's been no real contagion effect to the stock market. And I find that quite incredible because normally you would get these spillovers, these contagions. And I find that strange. I don't really understand why that has happened. I mean, we've continued rallying pretty much, even with FTX, you know, going completely tits up and whatever. So it's a bizarre situation. Now, did you see Charlie Munger talking about crypto? Oh, my Lord.
The thing is, Pete, he's nearer to 100 than he is 90, right? And he still has got the synapses.
He's on it.
Synapses of so fast. And he's like, and he just basically tells, you know, without using expletives, he's saying, don't go anywhere near it.
I mean, I couldn't believe my luck because by sheer coincidence, I happened to have CNBC on at exactly the right time. And they had Becky Quick, you know, she's there with Joe Kernan and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Squawk Box, whatever you call it, and they had Becky playing the interview. So you had the Becky in one window, like where Peter was, and then Charlie Munger, like where I am, and they're playing that on the telly, and it was, you know, he was just basically saying things like, you know, the world really doesn't need a currency to enable drug dealers and other ne'er-do-wells to be able to transact, you know, and he was saying how you just can't value it and whatever. But then the funniest thing was, and they had to bleep it out. So he said, basically, no one's going to tell you that the thing they're trying to sell you is beep. And it was just a classic, right? And afterwards, you got Joe, Andrew Ross Sorkin, and Becky. They're all in the studio talking about it. And then Becky totally shocks Joe and Andrew by saying, oh, yeah, the word he used was, and actually said it live on air. And Andrew Ross Sorkin's going, I can't believe you just said that on air.
And brilliant, she says, brilliant.
She says, it's all right, we can say it because it's a cable news. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. I was in stitches. And they're just broadcasting that in the middle of the day. It was like,
listen,
the fact,
mate,
I got that.
Those things have to be said.
Oh, it was epic. It was epic, mate. I think it's
billions wiped off.
Mate, Charlie Munger even called it like a venereal disease once.
Oh, wow.
He's epic, mate.
He's brilliant.
We need to
clone him, mate. We need to clone him and Warren Buffett. We really do.
Oh, we are going to be so... The world is going to be a poor place when they finally go to the great investing desk in the sky. Yeah, it's going to be
absolutely
a poor
agree.
Place. Oh, yeah. We'll miss him, mate.
Yeah.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Now, look, I want to talk to you about something that happened today, Pete. And I find it quite remarkable what's happened today.
Do you want to you know, anything about the charity or whatever before we go in?
Yeah,
there?
Go for that first if you want. Yeah, have a break here. Go for it.
Yeah,
go for it.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do first, right? We got a contact from our SharePad contact today, so an email from him.
Oh, yeah.
And said, yeah, I don't know if you had a chance to read it. He said they're doing a special offer on ShearPad and ShareScope. It's basically all of the products, so it's not limited to ShearPad. It's on ShareScope as well, and it's on all the different levels, so whichever one people want. And it's basically a Black Friday deal, As I understand it, it will run, I mean, basically from when our podcast comes out on Friday the 18th, I think it runs for at least a week, but it may be 2 weeks, but I think it's at least a week. And basically the way the deal works is if you want an annual subscription to SharePad or ShareScope, you'll get 14 months for the price of 12. If you want to do it monthly, you get the first 3 months for the price of one. So it's quite a good deal. It's got all the T's and C's on their website, all the usual stuff. But whatever you do, if you want to take advantage of this, don't use our normal adverts on our websites or whatever. What you've got to do is go to the SharePad ShareScope website, which you can find easy. Just do a search, whatever, sharepad.co.uk, whatever. Choose the particular product you want and then use promo code TP, which is obviously Twin Peaks. So it's TPBF Black Friday. So TPBF22 is obviously the year. So it's lowercase is what he sent us. TPBF22. That's it, really. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. So if anyone wants to take up SharePad, ShareScope, give it a go. Give it a go. Worth it.
That's a very good offer. I think that's one of the best ones they've done, I think, if I remember rightly.
I mean, obviously...
That sounds very good.
Direct message me or Peter if you want to hear anything more about that. Yeah, or
I'll try and add it to the write-up, the initial write-up I do on my website as well for the link for this podcast. It'll be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll probably put it out as well. Do you want to do the charity now as well? Or do you want to do this?
One other thing. As I understood it, on the SharePad website itself, they're only advertising it on that Friday. So it's like a special thing for Twin Peaks listeners that you've got a bit more time to think about it.
Okie dokie.
Do I do that thing you want to do, mate?
Cool. Yeah. So this particular company just caught me off guard today.
Oh.
And very, very surprising. It's a stock that I've not heard anyone mention in the circles that I frequent anyway. And this is a tiny little sub 20 million pound market cap company that's been through the wars over the past decade and more. And the company is well known in the markets that it's in. It's called Harland and Wolff Group, ticker symbol HARL. And for the football fans, it's not Haaland, the football player that plays for Manchester City. But they struck a significant goal today. The share price ended up 79.9%.
Wow.
Rising to 17.9 pence per share. The price range of the stock is 5.55 pence. That's the low, and the high is 31 pence. The share price was 5.9 pence on the 1st of November, and today it closed up at 17.9. So it looks to me like some people got wind of this going on at some point before it rose today. So what happened was they secured a major contract today for the Titanic defense contract at the Belfast shipyard's iconic yellow crane is going to return to action. Essentially, they are part of a team Resolute alongside BMT and Navantia UK. Harland Wolff was selected as the preferred bidder for the Ministry of Defence's £1.6 billion contract to manufacture three vessels providing munitions, stores and provisions to the Royal Navy aircraft carrier, destroyers and frigates. So Harland Wolff's Belfast shipyard will construct all three 216-metre long vessels, which upon completion will be the second largest UK military vessels behind the two Queen Elizabeth class aircraft carriers. £20 million market cap company is part of a team that wins a £1.6 billion contract.
That's incredible. Yeah.
I'm like, what? Will they even be able to facilitate that? I'm thinking, you know. But they're the preferred bidder. So let's see what happens eventually with this. But it's definitely one to investigate and research and all the rest of it. And we know what's been happening with the shipyards up and down the country and over in Ireland. Everything else has been going overseas and elsewhere. So it's still great for Northern Ireland, you know, Ireland, UK, to have this contract within the United Kingdom as such. So, yeah, so I'm really pleased for them. Let's see what happens.
Presumably, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it on the telly and stuff, where, like you said, it's like an iconic big yellow crane. It's like a sort of,
I was trying to think before I came on here, because I remember it being
like,
in a crime drama thing that I watched earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
And whatever everything's filmed in Belfast and around Belfast, there's always the cranes are always shown somewhere.
Yeah.
The shipyard always gets involved in it, you know.
And it's in the shape of a goalpost.
Yes.
And it's
but
it's big and fat, and it's like yellow, and it says Harland and Wolf on it, so it's really iconic and famous. So presumably they own the dockland, and they obviously own the crane and all the rest of it, which is where the ship's going to be built. I would guess with the market cap so low, I would imagine there's a bit of debt with the company, but obviously people need to look into that.
It needs to be investigated. Obviously, it was a behemoth entity at some stage and historically. So they've got all that going on, but the market cap's on its knees and has been on its knees.
Yeah.
Worked itself out of administration, if I remember, in 2019 or something like that.
Yeah,
it's been trying to get back to profitability since. So it's had a really troublesome journey. But, you know, it's going to create jobs, Pete. That's the beauty of it.
Well, that's
about 1,200 jobs or something are going to be created in and around Belfast as a consequence of them winning this bid. And if that happens, at this time of, you know, when people are in crisis, creating jobs, getting the job again, that's going to be awesome for Belfast and surrounding areas. Yeah, so brilliant news, really good news.
Can I fire a really quick question at you, right? It shouldn't take too long to answer. You mentioned on a podcast recently, about two podcasts ago or something, you sort of said, you know, I've managed to bank the profits that I was expecting for this year, or whatever it was, whatever words you used. But it made me think of the question is, when you get to year end, to December the 31st, or whether it's tax year, however you do it, do you look at the overall value of your portfolio compared to the year before, or do you look at the banked profit compared to the bank profit of the year before?
I go from January the 1st to December the 31st.
Yeah.
And the banked profits I've got are either sitting as a cash portion of my portfolio.
Yeah.
Or some of it will get partially reinvested throughout the year anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever the cash is, I look at the cash and the value of the portfolio versus what the end cash and portfolio was on January the 1st.
So you're doing it by portfolio valuation. That's fine. I just want to clear that up.
Cash.
And part of the reason I say that is, if you remember the wonderful Jason at Stealth Surf, who we had on the podcast some time ago, he tends to focus on banked profits, which I find that's an interesting difference in how some people do things and how other people do things. That's basically it.
The difficulty with doing it just purely as banked profits is that when you have a year like this, no one's got anything to actually account.
Yeah. You have an even worse year. Yeah.
You've got 50 to 60% of the people that are listening to this podcast that are unfortunately minus for the year, you know, having had a good 2021 and a good 2020. I think you should have a point in the calendar, whether it be the end of the tax year, or if you're doing it, you know, year to year, 1st of January, what's the value of all my portfolio? And that's the figure. And then at the end of the year, December 31st, you then look at what it is then. And so obviously during the year, some people add their ISA there as well, the other 20K that they add in there as well.
However you want to do it.
And so on and so forth. Some people take money off the table and, you know, take it out of the ISA for living expenses. So you've got to find what metric it is that gives you a true calculation of your portfolio.
I mean, obviously what people can do is they could take the portfolio valuation as we do, you know, and compare it to the year before, whatever. But what they could also do is have a separate thing where they look at their bank profits just for interest readers, sort of say, oh yeah, this year I've done really well because I banked a lot of profit, did better than that. Whatever. People can chop it how they want to, you know.
If that's what works for Jason, I wouldn't do it that way because, you know, there's going to be years where you've got nothing to actually show as bank. Well, you can bank the profits, but, you know, the bank profits don't stay. the term bank is loosely used, Pete. Yeah. Bank profits usually means you completely take it off the table and you're never going to introduce that back to the market again.
I mean realized profit. Yeah. As opposed
bank
to paper
profits to
profit.
Me means I have sold something and I've taken the profits from that particular entity. I've had these three takeovers. I've banked the profits. I've locked it in. It still stays in my ISA to be reinvested at some point. Yeah. It's not coming out of my ISA.
Absolutely.
So if I started with 100K and it's now at 105K, that's 5%. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cash is sitting there plus my value. It's at 5. I've made 5% this year. And then I try and compound that going forward. Yeah. Compound that going forward.
Mate, before I mention the charity, can I just mention a stock that was, I got involved in one of those Monday mellow things where I came on and talked with David Stredder for a little while, which was cool. But I think it was last week. It was good fun. But while that mellow thing was on, one of the companies that presented at it was Sanderson Group, SDG, which is, and let me just check, I think it's SDG, I don't want to get the wrong, because it did change its ticker, didn't it, which was going to confuse, it's SDG, which is Sanderson Design Group. They used to be Walker Green Bank, so they own all the rights to the William Morris, you know, flowery wallpaper.
We've spoken about it a few times. Quite a lot of the FinTwitters hold the stock. It's not a stock that it's a stock that most people know about.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to mention it was that when the new CEO came, and I, a couple of years ago, I would read through the updates that she put out, the company put out and whatever. And I always thought this is written, there's a lot of sense here. What they're doing to turn the situation around after Walker Green Bank got into a bit of difficulty, I thought, it's really good, sensible stuff. Anyway, having watched that mellow thing the other night, I have to say I was really impressed by the CEO. And the two things that really stood out were how they're now using social media and getting much more use of social media. And I thought that was, that's absolutely the way to be going. And I think, no modern business in this day and age should be not on social media. They've got to use it. And I was impressed what she said that. But the other thing that I really liked, we're back to the Aldi discussion, was the SKU reduction. Now, basically, SKUs is basically stock units, So it's different types of individual products. Obviously, in the grocery sense, you would have baked beans or a soap or different brands, whatever. But each one is an SKU. What she was saying about was rationalizing down the SKUs, because they had something, I can't remember the numbers, but it was like bonkers. They had like, say, 40,000 different products. She's rationalized that down to 20. You'd have to look into it, get the exact numbers. But this, focus on getting the focus on stuff is always the way to go. And it's one of the reasons that Aldi and Lidl do so well, because they don't have the big ranges that you get in other stores. And Sanderson are doing exactly the same sort of thing. And I thought, that is really, it's really basic and really obvious, but it was so good to hear her saying it. I was very impressed by her.
My only concern, Pete, with regarding that stock and other stocks like it, is that you make the comparison regarding going to Tesco's versus Sainsbury's versus Aldi. We're at a time where people are talking about 16% running inflation on food. I'm not sure how many people are going to be able to buy posh wallpaper and furnishings during 2023. People that have got money continue to spend money, the share price for SDG will do really, really well. If people that are rich start to, reduce their changing their furnishings in 2023, it could, like a lot of retailers, you know, and luxury items, classed as luxury items, they could get absolutely hurt.
Absolutely. And looking at the chart on it, if you look at a chart over 1 year, it's, well, probably over a year and a half, it's in a very clear downtrend channel. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see the downtrend
see
channel?
Where
it's,
yeah.
And it's very much within those confines. And it, I mean, the key is basically that low. So if I think it's about, say, 85 pence, 80 pence, as long as that level holds, you're going to be all right. But if that level goes, then it's going to go lower.
Are you considering buying it, Pete?
No. But I was just making the comment that I was very impressed by the CEO. And I've got another stock, which I'll talk about in a bit, where I saw another CEO on a completely different bit of media. And I was very impressed by him. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
The thing that I'm liking at the moment, and I was doing a thread for a little while earlier on in the year, is that a lot of these companies now are finally getting the act together and seeing the value in having a female CEO. They've had all these men over years and centuries that have been leading the company, and some of them have done exceptionally well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the person who's best for the job should get the job. And if it happens to be a woman, brilliant, because they end up being better than the last four blokes that were running the company. You know, and, you know, I've said this over and over again. Who make the best investors? Females, women, you know, 99% of the fund managers in the city are men, you know, plus or minus 5%. And it's like, why? You know, there's plenty of fund managers out there that are women that are absolutely smashing it, absolutely spanking percentage returns, performance, CAGR, you know, for the last 5-10 years versus the blokes. So if SDG has got a female CEO, as you said, is that what you said? Then brilliant.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Really good for them. And I hope going forward she completely smashes it and the markets recover and people start buying luxury wallpapers and furnishings again. And she's there with a share price doubled and trebled from here in the next 3-4 years. Brilliant. I'd love to see that.
And do you know what? That scenario you've painted over a 2-3-4 year horizon isn't beyond the realms of possibility.
This is what I keep saying to people. You know, 2023 could be horrible, but I'm looking at stocks. I'm living in here and I'm buying some stuff there. And I'm looking at 23, 24, 25, 26. You know, I'm looking at what's the worst case scenario for this company? Could it go out of business? No. How bad could 23 be? Really bad. Will this company still be okay? It may have to cut its dividend. It might be. Am I all right buying this now? I don't know. Is it worth the risk? Yes. And if it doesn't work out, I can just sell it. I can take a 30% loss, a 15% loss, or a 5% loss, and move on and come back to it another time. But people are buying stuff or not buying stuff with fear of what's going to happen next week. You know, and they should be looking at stuff and thinking, 2023, 24, 25, how well could this company do? And that's the way you should be investing. By the same way as Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett has been doing it for the past, you know, 50 odd, 60 years, 70 years. That's the way to invest.
Absolutely. Mate, funny you were, you know, talking there about future years. Something I picked up today, another snippet that you just sort of trip over. I caught a bit of Andrew Bailey talking in the House of Commons Select Committee, presumably the Treasury Select Committee, whatever you call it. And he said on there that he thinks inflation could stay pretty high for 4 years, I think he said. And I think it's like a year longer than they were saying before. And you just think, oh my God, this is scary. Anyway.
So the argument about it being transitory last year is a complete
so wrong.
It's
Like
4 years, Pete.
And I think,
4 years.
But the other thing he did say was, I think he said it was like 26 or 27. They actually expect inflation to overshoot on the downside and go below their 2% target. You just think, oh, my God.
You know what? I've come to the conclusion that we can listen to what they've got to say. We can hear what they've got to say. But they haven't called it right for the past, I don't know how long.
They ain't got a clue, mate.
You know, in the summer, they were saying it's going to peak at this price and blah, blah, blah. You know, I had people on Twitter saying, that's it. Interest rates have peaked. You know, inflation's peaked. No. you know. Yeah. And now he's saying it's going to run high for 4 years. I'm like, oh, come on, guys, we can just do without that.
Yeah,
you know. Exactly. So, you know, if it gets like that, if it stays high, Pete, I'll have to find another game. You know, I have to find something else to do. Take your money off the table and go invest in rare watches. You know, and maybe learn how to spot a good classic car.
Oh,
you know, because I'm not fighting 5-10% inflation against the market.
Do you know,
it can't be done, but the markets ain't going to be sitting at 7,000, Pete, if it's running for 4 years at that sort of rate.
Do you know, it's so difficult to know what's going to happen.
Prefer for the worst and hope for the best, as they say.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPETES. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the TWINPETES promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
And it's
right. Let me tell you about one stock, Pete, before we run out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention this very, very quickly. It's a tech company. Everyone knows I love my tech stuff. But it's one I've had an eye on, and I'm still thinking it's too pricey. You can check the PE for me in a minute. And it's a gaming and broadcast technology company, gaming company. So it's a provider of innovative, highly engineered technology products, principally for the global gaming and broadcast industry. Yeah. And they came out with interim results in September and basically said they were performing strongly and now expect to report full year results ahead of the market expectations with revenues in excess of $115 million. And profit before tax of no less than 10 million. And that company, for you guys and ladies and gents to go and research, is called Quicksand, if I pronounce that properly. Ticker symbol QXT.
Is that UK?
UK, Quicksand.
Oh, Quicksand.
You pronounce it.
Yeah.
Quicksand. QXT is a ticker symbol.
QTX.
The P.
No.
QXT.
QXT. Quicksand.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I looked earlier, the share price was around 163, 165. The PE is still quite high. The platform I used was saying it was 36 PE. Yield is 1.47. But it's gaming, and it's about providing gaming for all these companies in and around the world.
They
so that's what
machines.
Attracts me to it.
They make gaming machines, don't
they? They make all the different aspects to go into the machines for the global gaming industry and the broadcast industry.
And a lot of that is gambling machines as well.
Gambling machines, yeah. I remember you saying you're not that keen on it and all the rest of it, that sort of space. But so that's just one. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not going to go into details about it. Just one for some people to research. The PE is quite high. There's lots of stuff. And if you're going into a difficult 2023, that PE could halve in a heartbeat because it slows down.
Mate, looking on SharePad, QXT, Quicksand, yes, the historic PE is
32.4.
Forward PE for this financial year is 17.7. Yep. For next year, 14.6. And you get 1.4% dividend rising to 1.5. And it has cash. So I would say,
it got cash as well.
Doesn't look horrendous at all.
Yeah, I've got my eye on it with a view to let's see what happens in 2023. And if it comes down a bit lower and the PE is dropping down in 2023 below 20, then I think it could be worth investigating. It's just worth researching now and putting it on your watch list. And if the share price drops to where you think is a sensible place to buy, then, and the opportunity arises in 2023 when more turbulence happens, I just think it's one of them that could do well. Obviously, the caveat to that is that if people are struggling financially, are they going to be going to the casinos and the Vegases of the world and the other places where these machines are? Who knows? But I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Anyway, throwing it out there. As again, it's a research idea. I don't own it. So just go and do what you need to do and have a look at it.
Interesting chart, because year to date, it's actually not down very much. It's held up pretty well. And let's be honest, in the pooey year we've had, a stock that holds up pretty well is fair play. Mm. I mean, it looks a bit sideways to me at the moment, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Mate, can I just mention every year we get behind a charity. This year we're getting behind the Backup Trust, which is a charity that helps people with spine. I'm paraplegic myself. I'm a wheelchair user, paralyzed from the chest down. The Backup Trust does a lot of work, especially on the mental side, to help people who've got spinal injuries or are newly injured or whatever. They do a lot of work with the hospitals and things. And really good charity. I know them well. If anyone wants to help make a contribution, it's the Just Giving page is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPetes. Peter normally puts a link in the blurb that he sends out associated with the podcast when we send it out on Friday. If you go to my Wheelie Dealer 2 website, so that's www.wheeliedealer2.weebly.com, go to the Twin Peaks podcast page. There's a link to the Just Giving site right at the top. We're now up to the total for the year of 2,429. And we've had a donation from Chris. So this is from Chris Hoyer Miller. So hi, Chris. Thank you. It says, small contribution, chaps. Thanks for all your good work and sage advice, Chris. Well, mate, you know, you say small contribution. He's given us 30 quid and £7.50 gift aid. Mate, that's a decent contribution. And, you know, if listeners can only give a fiver, log on there, give a fiver, because charities are struggling at the moment. All charities are having a really tough time. So if there's anything you can do to help and say thanks for the podcast and some of the help you've had, then please give us a bit of help on it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you all that have made donations already to that particular Backup Trust charity Just Giving page. We're going to be looking to, I think we've got some gifts we're going to try and distribute via them towards the end of the year. And wow. I think what I'll probably try and do is get those distributed to, probably try and do a draw, see what we can sort out before the end of the year and get something distributed to the ones that have made a donation towards it regarding some cups and some flasks and some other bits and pieces that they've got there. I think that'd be a nice little touch if we can sort that out.
Yeah. So people will be able to
all the people that
people will be able to listen to podcast or watch it on YouTube, and they'll be able to drink out of their backup mug. How cool is that?
Yeah. I'll try and sort that out.
Epic.
I've got a similar thing going on with the Memphis situation as well. We've got a Just Giving page for the Christmas list. We're behind schedule for that.
I need to give on that, and I'm going to. What do I need to go to? Where do I need to go?
Oh, we need to find the. I'm going to have to dig it out now, Pete. Bear with me, mate. It's the Memphis Christmas list. So it's if you can go onto Just Giving page and just type in Memphis, which is MENPHYS, and the current run is for the Memphis Christmas list, and we're trying to donate, get enough money raised. It's 22.5k to distribute 1,500 presents. So we'll be buying the gifts, traveling around Leicestershire, distributing them, or we're going to get them to come to the hub with families and get them. And we've got a Santa grotto, which I'll be working on over Christmas. I'm not going to be Santa, so I'm not going to scare anybody. But we'll be doing some basically what we do with the grotto, we plan it and organize it so each family can bring their child in, and we organize the grotto for each child's specific needs regarding their sensory needs and so on and so forth, regarding their, you know, audio needs and all the rest of it. And if they want it to be completely a certain way, we try and do it for them specifically. So they have half an hour of their own grotto, and then we wait, we sort it out again for the next one and so on and so forth. And we do that probably from the beginning of December is where we're going to do that. Brilliant. Towards the end, up to Christmas, Boxing Day, Christmas Eve, sorry. So we're going to do that as well for the people that need it. So, you know, because they're not going to be able to go into a normal grotto because it's not going to be, you know, fitting for them, really. So that's what we're going to do there.
Excellent.
So, yeah, all things going, mate. All things going. And we just need to do what we can for as many charities as possible.
Absolutely.
Anything else you got, Pete?
Well, I just want to mention, I hinted at it just now, that there's another stock where I was watching Sky News one morning. It had Ian King, you know, Ian King show, whatever.
Yeah.
I quite like that. And I do like Ian King because I think he's a very knowledgeable guy. He impresses me. But anyway, one of the CEOs that came on to that to talk about their company, which had had results, was the CEO of DWF. So that's D for Delta, W for whiskey, F for go away. No, Foxtrot. X for F for Foxtrot. I again, a bit like the lady from Sanderson, I just thought, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And it's
I know, it's refreshing, isn't it, to have a, you know, you sometimes get these CEOs on and you sort of listen to them and you sort of think, this is a load of nonsense. Do you know what I mean? But this guy came over really well. And the thing that's interesting is that the last trading update was okay. And I mean, you look at the valuation. So looking on SharePad at 77 pence, it's on a forecast PE of 6.6. It's on a 2-year forecast PE of 6.1. It's got a forward dividend yield of 8.1%, 2-year forward dividend yield, 9.1%. Got a bit of debt because it's been doing acquisitions and stuff. But, you know, when you think about companies that are likely to be quite resilient in difficult times,
Hey, that's going to be going forward. It's going to be scary, you know.
Oh,
and companies needing financial help is going to be scary. So they're going to be, I suspect they're going to be busy, Pete.
Exactly. And I just think it's an interesting one. And it's, I mean, it's very beat up. You look at it year to date, it's down from sort of like, I don't know, £1.30-ish down to 77p. So we've been absolutely battered. And it looks a pretty weak chart at the moment. So I don't think there'd be any need to rush to buy it. But I just think it's one of those that, you know, looks cheap, could be interesting. CEO looks very solid at it. And, interesting stock. I don't hold it. I've got Gately GTLY, which is similar, and I don't see any point of chopping and changing horses. But, yeah, interesting stock.
Cool. I'm going to do one last little snippet of the Ice a Millionaire thing that I did last week, the investing side.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to give Ron one more scenario because I'm conscious of the time. And that's with somebody who's sitting there with either 20K in cash in the portfolio or has got 20K they're starting out with. And then, you know, at the end of this financial year, come April, you've got 20K-ish available in that portfolio. And then they're starting with putting the 20K in over the course of the next 12 months. So 20K down, putting the ISA allowance in per month. So that breaks down to 1,666.67. And if you compound that at 10% for 40 years, so these are the youngsters starting out now, if you're lucky enough to be in your 20s and your 30s.
Oh, yeah.
For 40 years, compounding that for 40 years will give you 9,750,053 pounds.
Wow.
So 9.75 million over 40 years. just with a 10% return. You can do that for 40 years without trying to chase the market too hard. Before I finish, I want to just say to everybody that I did a compilation with Dave Mutton of Investing Matters regarding all the podcasts we've done with all the experts, the economists, the fund managers, the journos, the economists, all the experts that we've seen with. And we've done an overview of our favorites / top five interviews that we've done. And the ones that are on there that we've discussed are Mark Dampierre, you know, ex-Hargreaves Lansdown, director of research, George O'Connor, who's a veteran, fantastic software tech guy, Janet Moy, economist at RBC, Brewing Dolphin now, and John Stepek is now at Bloomsburg. So if you haven't, you sign up for John's newsletter, as well, his brand new newsletter that he's doing from Bloomberg. Annabelle Brody Smith, who's the director, communications director, AIC, John Sulaco, the football player, and Stephen Kelly, the former CEO of Oracle, formerly of Oracle, CEO of Chordiant, Micro Focus and Sage. So that's a brilliant little synopsis of all the stuff that we've done on there. Well worth a listen. And we've got a fantastic individual who many people follow that I've interviewed, and his podcast will be going out on Wednesday. I will not tell you who that is yet, but I think you'll find it very, very interesting. Yeah, I've got some interesting people coming, Pete. And there's a few little nuggets in that particular podcast as well. That's out currently. I'm getting some guests, Pete. It's a lot of work though, mate. A lot of work to find these people and get these people and plan it in and then research them and all the rest of it. But when they come out with such absolutely phenomenal stuff, we're thinking, wow.
Yeah.
You know, if you were having an audience with, that cost you a couple hundred quid to go and sit with that person, just get those sort of information to squash into your ear like that. These people's time is precious, and that's why they're getting paid the big bucks to work in the city of London and elsewhere, you know. Absolutely brilliant. I had just got a tweet yesterday from Richard Bedard. So Richard, I know you listen to this, so thank you ever so much. So I was in Cambridge, Richard, yesterday with Phil Oakley and Richard Bedard. I've not met Richard before. I've followed his work and his awesome writing. So I met him for the first time. Brilliant. And just had a brilliant meet-up and a catch-up when we had a something to eat. But he's chatting to me and he's going on about, oh, listen to this fantastic interview that, who was the guy again? It was Todd Wedding, and Todd said this and Todd did that. And I went, that was an Investing Matters podcast that I did with Todd. just fell about laughing.
Brilliant.
I said, yes, that was me interviewing. He was like, oh, really? Yeah, that was me.
Epic.
You know, so yeah, really brilliant to have met him. Really fantastic guy. If anyone's not following Todd or not following Richard Bedard, they absolutely should, for the quality of stuff that those individuals share. Fantastic meetup. And Phil sends his love to everyone on Twitter as well. I'll be going to see him again, hopefully before Crimbo, if not in January. All's good with the world when people are happy and you can spend quality time with experts, people that I got like that to just look up to and go, wow, just give me some of that stuff to share some of that, you know, wisdom with me, because I want to become better and I want to improve, you know?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, geniuses as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely. Mate, we need to call it a day there.
We will call it a day there. And once again, I will thank everybody for their podcast feedback, their retweets and commentary. Thank you all for your support. James absolutely smashed it last podcast. And the feedback we had for him was phenomenal. So I know it's only Wheelie and I this time, but love to hear your feedback. We still love to hear your feedback. And hopefully we've shared a few bits of nuggets with you and you enjoy this. If you enjoy it, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the other channel. And please give us some feedback and retweet and share it with your listeners. If you found one nugget in this podcast, if you've got more than 5 followers, please retweet it. Please comment on it. And maybe somebody who's following you will find some nuggets in there themselves. So we'll carry on and we plow on. As always, do what you can. Pete's talked about charities struggling. It's hard out there, folks. Do what you can. Support Pete's charity. Support the Memphis Christmas List. Support the charities that are local to you that you want to support as well. And I said before, you know, if you're going to a shop and they've got a couple of trolleys there with you know, where you can make a donation of a tin, or a roll of toilet roll, please make a donation, because people are struggling and it's getting hard. I think the hardest thing I've seen that really struggled with was my missus, my boss, came back and said, something going on about eggs. I goes, what are you talking about? There's a shortage of eggs. Oh. And the share price. The price of eggs has gone through the roof, but the shops are saying they're rationing people taking eggs. Remember when it was flour and rice and spaghetti pea during COVID?
And oil.
Now there's a shortage of eggs.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to see a rush on people getting little, I don't know what they call them, chicken coops and getting their own eggs.
There's another angle on the egg one. A lot of the problem with it is because of bird flu. So all of
the
chickens have got to go into houses, into sheds, yeah? So all of the eggs that you see that say free range are not free range at all at the moment because they're all stuck in bloody
anymore.
Sheds, poor sods.
Oh, my gosh. Sheltered, it doesn't really quite rhyme, does it? Sheltered eggs.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite go with it.
Oh,
all right, folks. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
A fantastic weekend when it arrives. This will be, you'll be listening to this on Friday, the 18th. Have a fantastic weekend. Look out for whomever you can. Show some kindness across your community. Show some kindness on Twitter. You know, before you write down something that's not very nice, think about it. If I received this same tweet, how would I feel if I received it? So show some kindness, show some love, and look after yourselves. You know, let's get to Christmas and spend some time with our loved ones. And please, please, please do what you can to ensure that you remain in good health and remain happy, because there's lots of things out there to try and knock us off our feet. So stay strong, be good, and stay charged and resilient. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.